We are sitting this morning in a very nice, cozy and comfortable church. But I want to take you this morning to the stark reality of Joseph and Mary's journey into Egypt. Because I don't think we truly get the picture. Let me explain. The journey to Egypt was, to say it in the nicest possible way, a nightmare which I, as a parent, do not wish anyone to have. Let me explain. Joseph and Mary and a very wee Jesus left in the night. When we hear night, I want you to imagine pitch dark. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. Not to alarm the soldiers of Herod the Great. Again, when you think of the worst possible dictator you've ever heard of in this world, Herod was much worse. He was a very, very bad ruler. A man who did not take nonsense. A man who punished and killed people left, hand and center. And think also of the fact that poor Joseph and Mary could not go the nice short route through Jerusalem. They had to take the long and difficult route southwards to Hebron and then to Egypt. We do not know where they went to in Egypt. A lot of researchers is of the opinion that maybe their journey wasn't so long. They just went over the border. I am not convinced. I am sure they had to get away as far as possible. Over the border would still be too close to Herod to get hold of them. And yes, we know that Joseph might have chosen to go to Alexandria in Egypt. Why? Because we know 1/3 of Alexandria's population located in northern Egypt existed of Jews. Jews who were expats. Also, I imagine people who wanted to go get away from Herod as far as possible. But no matter where they traveled to in Egypt, it must have been at least 200 miles. Now picture this. You travel all day long with temperatures about 40 degrees Celsius, either on a donkey or on your feet. In the heat of the day, cold at night, because we know in those parts of the world, during the night, the temperatures drop. Thinking of the fact that you do not have running water, and in the back of your head, this constant fear of Herod. And think also of that wee baby. I don't think this was easy. Why Egypt? Like I said, I think it was a safe place. Because Herod had no jurisdiction or power. And we know in the Old Testament, Egypt served as a refuge place for a lot of Jews. But also Matthew is portraying something in the background. He wants the Jewish Christians whom he's writing to realize that there's resemblances between Moses and Jesus. Jesus was like a second Moses, but he's far greater than Moses. And just like Moses, Jesus had to go back to Egypt so that the prophecy of Hosea could be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. He will, just like Moses, come out of Egypt and lead his people, fulfill the will of God. We also read in this text, Herod the Great wasn't stupid. He knew when the Magi didn't return that they had purposely got word They avoided him. So yes, he did the most horrible thing I can imagine. He ordered all the male babies, all the boys, 2 years and under, to be killed in Bethlehem. And again, some researchers say it couldn't have been many babies. Still, it's babies. It's still a horrible death because these babies had no chance. But you know what? This was not something new of this man's character. We know Herod the Great was responsible for the killings of his own family members. Herod the Great could not handle competition. So, indeed, the word of Jeremiah 31 became a reality. It talks about the figurative weeping of Rachel. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. And Matthew is trying to say that Rachel wept for all the exiles in Babylon. But she would weep even more when she would have known about all the killing of these babies. And then the text tells us that Joseph could return to Israel again when Herod died. Again, the resemblance of Moses. Moses could return after he got the word in Midian that the people who sought his life are now dead. But on the way to Israel, Joseph hears in a dream that he cannot go back to Jerusalem because Archelaus, one of Herod's surviving sons, is now the new king. And he was just like his father. He was just as bad as Herod the Great. So he went to Nazareth. Why Nazareth? We know from evidence outside the Bible that a lot of people from Bethlehem, a lot of people went and stayed in Nazareth. Maybe Joseph and Mary went to stay with some of their relatives. Verse 23 is quite problematic in the sense that Matthew says he will be called a Nazarene. There's no textual evidence of this in the Old Testament. The only thing we can think of is that Matthew must have quoted another source. The meaning of that is, in those days, there must have been word going around that Jesus was called the Nazarene. This was meant to be. Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. He came for the sake of sinners. The message to us, Matthew is saying to us, Joseph and Mary were faithful to God. They trusted God on their journey to Egypt, despite all the dangers. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning comes from verse 13. When they, the Magi, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Like I said, we do not know how they travel, whether on foot, on a donkey or a horse. But we do know this trip might have taken them at least 10 days to complete. We also do not know if they traveled alone or that they traveled with other people in a caravan. However, we know they faced all these dangers. They faced all these weather circumstances. And yes, the needs of this wee baby. Have you ever traveled with babies? Or, if you don't get that picture, have you ever traveled with people that you know, family members, that moans when you start the engine? Do you know what it's like to travel with people that make comments on your driving? Yes, I just know of babies. So I'm going to share some of that with you. Well, you start off nice because they sleep in the back. But then they awake. Oh dear, oh dear. And then at first they're happy and then they start screaming. And then it sounds as if something is going to explode in that car because the toys are flying. And in our case, you know, we have Henry too. And yes, I drive Alu faster because I get so worked up with all this commotion in the back. And then Nanda tries to calm them by giving them food. That's not a good idea. Because then it's really messy. Messy not only in the back, but also some food flying past my ears. And yes, then I have to stop. So yes, and if that's not the worst, it's when they get tired and start moaning and crying. So traveling in these circumstances is not easy. And just like Joseph and Mary traveling with the wee Jesus, so we too travel daily with our God, our Lord, and our Savior. And to say it in the nicest possible way, most of the times, this journey with God is a struggle too. It's hard. It's like traveling with wee children. Why? Why is it so difficult for us to keep holding on to God? The answer is simple. Because we are humans. Because we are corrupt sinners who always make the wrong choices, who always fail to persevere, who always doubt, and yes, who almost all of the time rebels against God and His decisions. It's like Martin Luther who said, we are so corrupt that we cannot do it on our own. And when you realize this, you cannot reach inside yourself. No, you must reach out to God. Because it's only God that can help you. It's only God that can change your journey and your destiny forever and ever. And yes, we need to be prepared for this journey in 2011. Because this journey, like the journeys before, is going to be hard and tough. There is going to be times where we're going to feel like we can't continue. There will be times when we feel desperate and lonely. And there will be times when we really struggle to hold on to God. But we must know, even if we can manage just to hold on with our fingernails, that will be enough. That will be enough in 2011. And I thought of a metaphor to explain this journey. And I had a bit of a car problem, so I thought this is a very nice metaphor. Because we are like cars, vehicles in the hands of God. And like we prepare our vehicles for journeys, so we too must prepare ourselves. We must check our tires. And by tires, I mean our feet and our hands. We must be prepared for the steep hills. Prepare for people who tell us there's no God. We must prepare to stand up and say, there is a God. We must be prepared to tell them that they are on the wrong road. We must tell them in a compassionate and loving way They find themselves on a very slippery road, an icy road. And this road of them can lead to anything positive or good. We must open our hands. We must protect the vulnerable. And yes, we must show the world the love that God had for us. And our windscreens, that is our outlook in life, needs to be clean and welcoming. We must make sure that we consult our sat-navs, but not the worldly ones, because you know what they're like. I know. I always get lost with mine. I'm talking now of God's sat-nav. That is our Bible. We must consult and read and listen to our Bibles as much and many times as we possibly can. And we need to stop every week on a Sunday at the services in order for us to refuel and rest in the presence of God. But more important, to meet up with other travelers that is also weary, sick, worried, lonely, just like us. It's so true that someone once said, I moaned because I wanted new shoes. I'm not saying this was a woman. I moaned because I wanted new shoes. But then I saw someone in church with no legs at all, and my moaning stopped at once. We must be grateful for each and everything we receive from the hand of God. We must be open when God touches our reality. Yes, we must say thank you as many times as possible. We must thank the Lord God for everything we have. And then most important, we must take God's hand. We must trust Him. And we must grab onto this hand with everything possible. We must trust Him as we go through the deep valleys, up the steep hills, and through dangerous mountain passes of this world. Because on our own, we will not be able to complete this journey. If you are sitting in this church this morning and you are scared to journey anew with God because of an accident, remember, God is merciful and loving, always ready to help you. If you are feeling utterly alone, with no help in sight, remember, you are in God's house. Meaning, this is different. Because God is here. He's around us through His Holy Spirit. He's touching our reality this morning. You are in His presence. Close your eyes and just say, Lord, help. If you are sitting in this church and you are sad, you are grieving because you lost a loved one in 2010, and you think by yourself, how on earth am I going to journey alone this 2011. Remember to see the bigger picture. Your loved one may be with God. And what better place can there be? And remember, you have a responsibility. You are alive. God wants you to travel just as you are. Because you can bring change. And God will help you as you mourn. the death of your loved one. If you are sitting here this morning and you are feeling a bit disappointed in God because your plans in 2010 did not realize, please, please, just think of God and think of His greatness. God had a plan. If it didn't work out the way it did, God knows better. Trust Him for that. May we all travel and journey with God just as we are. Weary, worried, scared, sad, excited. And may we all experience in 2011 the presence of God's Holy Spirit as we start journeying with God in faith towards the future, full of hope, full of life, and full of love. Amen.